The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
Let's go, baby!
Are you ready for a break?
Yes.
Are you ready for a break?
Absolutely.
Ready for a break?
Yeah, and so much for that.
It's time for The Break on DallasCowboys.com.
We were on a break!
With Nick Eatman, Brian Broaddus, Ambar Garcia, and Derek Eagleton.
It is Monday, January 9th, 2023, season 18, episode number 103. Welcome to the latest edition of The Break. We're live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. We're presented by Miller Lite, the only beer of the Dallas Cowboys. And today we have to end the season. Oh, man, hopefully end it better than the Cowboys did. Cowboys lose on the road to Washington 26-20. I'm sorry, 26-6. That would actually have been a more interesting game, 26-20. But no, it was 26-6. And, you know, I'll open the show first today with asking you guys just the general question. What happened?
Well, I mean, Dak called it
right.
Dak called it crappy.
We had to bleep it out for the radio post game.
You can't use crap on the radio.
I think we
he used a different word.
He used a different
word. When I was in there, he said crappy, but I guess I missed the first part.
You missed the first word. Yeah.
Yeah. Same thing. As I wrote, it rhymes with gritty.
Yeah.
Which they were not. Yeah. So they got their ass kicked. As McCarthy said, they got punched in the mouth and they got their ass kicked. And I don't think they were mentally prepared to play. So you got to put that on the coach. You know, they said they were. They lied to us. Or they, you know, and then he comes back and said they're human. But whatever. They didn't play well. But they do have some issues, I think, that are going to lead into the playoffs. I mean, they can't run the ball. I think Dak played his worst game since the first game of the season. And, you know, they still got issues at corner, especially now if Bland's banged up.
Jeez. I think Bland's going to be okay for you.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Yeah, I think Bland's going to be okay for you. Yeah. Just what I got late last night. So I think Bland's going to be okay for you. What's disappointing and a little bit disheartening is it was a game that you had to go out and if you were going to have any chance of winning the division, you had to go out and win. You know, at least, you know, you never gave yourself a decision to pull guys. I mean, you never felt good. I tell you, I felt good about the defense at least getting put in some terrible situations. And, you know, the quarterback we talked about, you know, the rookie quarterback, I mean, he made a mistake throwing the ball. He just does one of those plays. They run it in practice and he throws it and it never gets intercepted. The play is always a touchdown and all that. So he threw it with confidence that it wasn't going to be in the triple coverage. But that's really what it came down to. But, yeah, your defense got thrown into some terrible situations yesterday and kind of held you in that football game. We all know they can't run the football. And they can't run the football. I really do believe this is they have these breakdowns, and it's not always with what goes on with Martin and Smith over on that right side. It wasn't a good game for McGovern. It really, really wasn't. And then, you know, and they tried to run some creative stuff, the little reverse runs and stuff like that. They couldn't get Peters on the outside to get a block. I mean, I think the running aspect of it is the right idea. The execution of like, okay, well, there's a hole. Why didn't the back cut it this way when it's blocked that? You know, does he see a flash of a white jersey there? Does it keep them inside when he should have bounced the ball to the outside? But you got some guys yesterday, they to Nick's point, physically got beat up a little bit. And a lot of that has to do with and it happened to Martin. I mean, Ridgeway, who you drafted, like back-to-back plays, was just throwing guys around and making tackles there. So that aspect of it is really, really disappointing. You wonder why they don't run the ball. It's they do not sustain any blocks at the point of attack. They just have not. And I think you missed that with Steele, with him and that ability to kind of get things sealed off so they can at least cut the ball. They have no ability to even cut the ball anymore. And I think that's killing them a little bit in the running game right now. I thought the protection was okay. Your quarterback just wasn't very accurate. I don't think he saw the field particularly well yesterday. The receivers clearly weren't open. They just could not get any separation on the outside. They doubled Lamb a couple of different times. That forced Dak to have to throw the ball to other people. Gallup doesn't look really comfortable catching the ball. Brown doesn't look comfortable catching the ball. So, yeah, I mean, you got a lot of issues on that offense right now that's kind of a little bit of a problem there for you.
Me personally, I don't really know how to feel right now. Like, I keep going back and forth. And McCarthy mentioned he took the blame on himself and said, you know, I put it on me and we just need to practice better. So it comes down, you would say, preparation, but I still have a problem with that because you can talk about preparation and then come out and play like crap first half, but how are you not able to do absolutely anything in the second half, adjust whatever during halftime, regroup, do what you need to come out and do something that's better than what you've been doing in the first half? So that, and that's remembering, like, Washington wasn't even doing a whole lot. Like, if Washington should have had way more score, more points on the scoreboard than they did. They didn't even take advantage of every mistake that Dallas did. So
they were in the red zone five times, by the way, yesterday.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Yeah. And then I think it was like 10 times that the Cowboys went three and out. That's ridiculous. That's embarrassing. It's absolutely ridiculous that you were so inefficient. Like, nothing. It was embarrassing. And everybody keeps saying this was an embarrassing game. And the thing is, you go back to other games where they've lost or even won, and they, even times that they play bad, they come out and do something that gives you some kind of hope. You're like, well, they were able to do this, or maybe, you know, in the second half, they were able to start moving the ball. And nothing was working. The running game was absolutely gone, which is one of my main concerns going into next week. It's like, it's completely, and that's now, how many games are we on now?
Four.
Where they haven't been able to efficiently
run the ball?
Well,
the last three. I mean, when you look at it, though, they didn't run the ball against Philadelphia. Surely against Tennessee, you didn't run the ball. And then this last week, you've played three teams in a row that are not going to let you run the ball.
And by the way, you got one coming up that's not going to let you run the ball.
Yeah. So that's a big concern of mine. And we'll see. And, you know, part of me, I'm like, okay, this, in a way, I know, I hate to say this, I'm not happy or glad to see them lose or anything like that, but in a way, it makes me have a little bit more hope that they will prepare a lot better for this week. They're going to be mad and upset, and just the preparation-wise, they're going to be more upset at how this game went. Because if it was like one of those games where they kind of play good, bad, but then they end up with a win, it's like, okay, well, they still managed to win. But the fact that they were so embarrassed by the way they played against a team like Washington, against that quarterback, and still the defense wasn't able to give you as much as you and I'm sorry, Brian, the quarterback, I mean, he wasn't that great at instance. Like, I've seen plays and he did a couple of things, but at the end of the day, he was still making mistakes and the Cowboys defense wasn't able to take advantage of that either. And the pressure wasn't there. So it's just, I expected a lot more.
Well, you know, I think the thing about it is, I mean, I think really the key here, they weren't prepared. And to me, the preparation also showed itself in the fact that there were so many just mistakes. Unforced errors. You got the punter dropping the ball. You got muff punts. You've got pick six.
Bad snap on the missed extra point.
There's just all these things that, to me, what it represented for me, Nick, you talk about it all the time. What were you doing on Wednesday and Thursday? And it felt to me like this team on Wednesday and Thursday of last week felt like, oh, of course we're going to win this game. And CD even said it after the game. He was like, we all win this game thinking we were going to win. And we didn't show up and play like that. And so it says to me, they felt like, well, Washington isn't playing a lot of their guys, so we should be able to roll the ball out there, get a couple scores, wrap it all up, and head on to the bus and head off into the playoffs. And that's not what Washington planned to do. Washington came out, gave them their best effort, and Dallas, on the flip side, was not prepared. And that's how you get a game like what we saw yesterday.
Well, the Commanders lost their playoff shot the week before because they played like Dallas played against the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
And then they made a switch at quarterback, and that killed them. And that, you know, they totally, you know, lost everything there as far as that goes. But, you know, the thing about it is, you know, the league as a whole went through the whole thing with the Hamlin thing. those players all went through that. And some teams handled that obviously pretty well, getting through it, and other teams didn't. And I mean, I'm not using that as an excuse, but you just don't know. I mean, I'm not out there on the practice field. I'm not in there every day in the locker room and listening to the players talk about it. And maybe they got affected by it. Maybe, like you said, the CD felt like that, hey, we just kind of can roll our helmet out there and play. But, you know, they just – for a team that the intent was to go try and win the game, if your intent's to go try and win the game and you play like that, you're going to get beat in the playoffs in the first round. If your intent – now, it's one thing if you rest everybody and say, okay, we're not going to play, and you lose the game. But, man, for them to have the intent going in that they were going to try and win this football game and play like that, that's a big indictment on this football team.
Nick, yesterday after the game, you were in the locker room. Amber, you were in the locker room as well. What do you think was the mood of this team? What would you call – how would you characterize the mood of the team in the locker room, post-game, just, you know, in general? What was the mood?
It definitely was like a frustrating loss. It wasn't like, well, all right, you know, let's get past this and get on to the season. Mm-hmm. It was more like, what was that? You know, and you know, as I said on the radio this morning, like, that's – I mean, shocker, but that's one of the worst locker rooms, you know, and it's not – it's never good, you know. It's crammed in there, and it's not big enough for an NFL team. But it's never a good mood, win or lose, in that locker room. And so, you know, it was just one of those that I think that it was such a crappy game for them. You're just trying to figure out what was going on, and I bet the players are confused. You know, I mean, because were they really trying to win? I mean, because think about it. You can say you're trying to win, but Terry McLaurin had caught like two passes against this team in like three games. Like, he doesn't catch passes against the Cowboys, against Diggs. So why is Diggs not on him? Mm-hmm. If Diggs isn't on him, then are you just trying to throw Trayvon Mullen out there to see if he can play, just see something? You know, there were some times, third and five,
third and five, just a run
up the middle to Pollard. Yeah. Here's another one. Fourth and inches, Dak is the guy that's supposed to be, like, hurry up to the line. When has Pollard pushed anyone? Like, is Pollard going to be the guy that give Dak some, you know, there was different combinations of lineups that you're just thinking, okay, you say you wanted to win, but you didn't.
Oh no, you make a good point, because with the score 13-6 in the second half, you're looking at Mullen playing left corner.
Yeah,
you know, you're looking at a lot of different guys. They played three different left corners yesterday, is what they did.
But that's the part that doesn't make sense to me. Let's assume for a second that maybe they were trying out new things. They were trying to do all these whatever, just figuring stuff out. I would rather say, if you're going to do that, then just say, hey, we're not worried about whatever's going to happen with the division. We'd rather just sit our guys and rest some of our guys. And you could test out all those guys, those other guys, as much as you want. You run third and five with Malik Davis as much as you want on you know, up the middle. Like, that doesn't matter. You would have at least had the benefit of taking some guys who maybe needed some rest, like a Michael Parsons, and giving them some rest. If you're going to play everybody, then play the freaking game, right?
Yeah, see, the thing, I think Greg Olson made a really good point, and I know in the press box you guys don't get to hear the audio. Greg Olson said, he goes, it's now become a point with the way this game has gone that you might have made it worse. That by playing your guys the way you did and trying and keeping Dak in there and keeping CeeDee, keeping everybody in there, that you might have made it worse. You might have created even more doubt, more problems.
You think the Giants have that? Like,
no,
they don't.
You know, but the thing about it is, what really sucks is that Giants game turned into a 6-point game.
Yeah.
You know, and all of a sudden you're kind of going, oh, please, is this? Because Hurts started getting hit in the game, and he clearly was not, they're not the same when he's getting hit. And so now you're sitting there thinking, oh, if the Giants somehow pull this thing out and you're messing around and just getting beat.
Oh, that would hurt.
That's what I'm saying. And so to me, I agree with what Nick's saying. Where was the intent of going out there and winning this football game? You know, it looked like to me you were out there with the intent of winning a game, and they they just beat you up. I mean, they controlled the line of scrimmage. They let a rookie quarterback make a few plays. First pass he ever throws in his career, it's a touchdown. You know, he throws a bomb on a backup corner for 30 something yards to McLaurin or more than that down the sidelines. You know, so I mean, where was the, you know, I don't know. I think Nick is on to something. Like, where were you in this game?
Yeah.
Were half of you trying to play? Like, it looked like that Osa Odighizuwa and Armstrong were, like, interested in playing football yesterday. And everybody else was kind of interested, Damone Clark and all. You're not in Barr. You didn't look like you were ready to play football yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
And I mean, football is not a sport where you can play half in.
No. And that's the thing about it is, you know, you watch these receivers and the routes and who's open and who's not open and who's, you know, it's just, you know, it's disappointing. That part of it was that you just go out there and I didn't know what the mission I thought was to try and go win a football game and see what happens with the New York Philadelphia game. But
that wasn't
the mission.
It's not that. They're just trying to fool us, you know. They're just trying to fool Tampa and come out next week and punch them in the mouth. No, you know, one thing that I thought was interesting that Micah said was, I guess, him realizing and him saying, you know, you got to take advantage. I forgot the exact quote he said, but basically you got to take advantage of the now. Like, he realizes, he's starting to notice, like, he's not going to stay young. He's starting to feel it in his body. He's not going to stay young, and the time is now, and you got to look at yourself in the mirror and figure out exactly what is that you want as a team and as an individual as well. So there's literally zero positive that came out of this game. I don't know a single – who would you say of a single person that had a good game?
Well, the two that I watched, Osa and Armstrong, they were into playing their game yesterday.
You have a quiet 11 tackles.
For Golston, too. Yeah.
Like, I didn't know that was on the radar of 11. Yeah. I think the only positive is if Deron Bland is – pretty good, you know.
I think he'll be fine.
Then that you know, that was one of them, because you're playing the game, you're hoping you don't have any further injuries for this week, because you got to turn around and play a physical, you know, the physical team against Tampa. So,
and at the same time, you're hoping that those guys that you've been missing, Hankins, LVE, Biotish, you're hoping that they're getting healthier so that you might have them
right
back
down the middle.
Yeah, you're hoping you get those guys back because you're going to need them. You're going to need them for this playoff game.
You definitely need Hankins and Layton. I think
that's
Biotish as much too, I think.
Yeah, I think too. You need to get this offensive line back to what it was and not what it is right currently the last couple of games.
Which is almost – that's the weird part for me, because I actually thought once they had this injury and they kind of had this new lineup out there, I was like – man, this lineup, it's hard to believe you're going to have three Hall of Famers on an offensive line and they won't be at least as good, but they're not. Right now, they're not.
There's not much cohesion between Tyron Smith and Martin when it comes to run blocking.
The 4th-and-1 play, we saw this with Dak, the quarterback sneak kind of into the game. I mean, I think it was Sweat. I mean, he just basically knocked Tyron back.
Yeah,
and I haven't seen that happen much in his career.
Not the same player. Yeah. Not the same player out there playing tackle. And you know, there was a couple of times where the quickness got him. You know, he was late to get out. And it might be because you're playing a road game and stuff like that. It's like a lot of Dallas fans there.
Yeah.
So maybe it wasn't too loud. But
same with Jacksonville.
Yeah, it's crazy that guy. I think we're starting to see the end. Mm-hmm. I think we're starting to see the end, you know, of a guy that, and I really believe that I thought they would be more powerful over there and better. They, in pass protection wise, I think that they do some better things, but they miss Steele as a run blocker.
Yeah.
They really, really do.
All right, we're going to take our first break. We're going to come back. We'll dive a little deeper into this game, see if there's some things we can kind of take from it. We'll do that when we come back. DallasCowboys.com radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
What do you call a group of grown men and women with their faces painted silver and blue who get together every week to share a three-hour-long ritual of jumping, singing, and toasting Miller Lite and 10-gallon hats while yelling, "How about them cowboys?" You call it Miller Time in Dallas. Here's to the cowboys. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller Time. Celebrate responsibly. 2021 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
Want to use what the pros use? How about the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys? Jack Black. Right now you can get the Jack Black Starter, a curated collection of Cowboys locker room favorites for just $10 with free shipping. The starter includes four Jack Black skincare favorites, plus a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Go to getjackblack.com/cowboys and use the code word TEAMJB. That's getjackblack.com/cowboys. The Jack Black Starter, $10, free shipping.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far, with up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less. The satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Back to the break.
It's playoff week and the Cowboys Nation needs you. Show your team pride and support this postseason with the best gear in the league. Head to the nearest pro shop or log on to shop.dallascowboys.com, a Fanatics experience. And let's get rowdy.
Let's go. Second segment of the break live from SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. This segment brought to you by blockchain.com.
Speaking of rowdy. Do you think maybe I'm – it's not really rowdy, but do you think maybe I'm the reason that they played like that?
I think so.
Tutty bad luck?
Cowboys are officially 0-1
against Tutty. When I high-five the mascot of the other team.
That couldn't help.
We got into so many different little
– I thought that was so hilarious. That made my day.
When we first saw him, it was like –
He was
Nick,
coming right at
Tutty.
I started yelling
and
at
then,
him.
And then – no, Nick, he's walking across the field. Yeah. Nick's like, so Tutty! Yo, Tutty! And Tutty didn't pay attention to him. And then Tutty's coming back, and Nick's like, so, what's up? And then he's like –
He was his old friend.
And comes rolling over to Nick, high five, let's get a picture, and the whole thing.
That was awesome.
You know, the worst part is the poor guy inside there, every time he walks or something, he keeps having to readjust his belly. Like, he's picking up his belly and, like, readjusting. It's so bad.
Like he walks around with like an inner tube.
Yeah. But they just kind of, it's almost like they stuff him with like cotton or something, but it keeps falling. So he's having to kind of pull his belly up.
Yeah. He's probably the most fit guy there is.
Those mascots have to be in great shape. Yeah, they really do. Yeah.
That's kind of the only thing that was wrong with their team yesterday, though.
Pretty much, yeah. Everything else worked out for them.
You were the mascot with trying to get everything right yesterday.
So take that win.
He wasn't the fattest one in that picture either.
It's close.
It's borderline. It's close.
Not fair.
But they did get what, two tutties?
Yeah.
Three?
Yeah. Was it three?
It was like... Dak was like, no, seriously. I'm throwing it at you. Are you not going to catch it? Here, do it again.
Run it again.
There you go.
Run this back. That wasn't good enough.
Found any logic on that play?
Yeah, the first one that was a miss, he was trying to throw it. He was just trying to, like, he was throwing off his back foot, and it was like he was trying to just throw it, maybe to throw it away. And it ended up out there, and like, you know, Dak's always going to try and make a play. That's Dak. Off back foot, trying to throw. That second one is, though, they're playing what they call that cover two look with the two. This corner just squats. This quarter's responsibility is the flat. If you run a route to the flat, that's his play. Ball's right there. That's, I mean, that's just, you know, that's cover two. Look.
You know, and I put that in as a five plays to remember. I mean, mm-hmm. this is one that Dak probably would have liked the first guy to catch. He intercepts the ball. Yeah. You'd like to think Gallup touches him at the 22-yard line. Then what? They've already thrown a pick. Sly can't make a field goal at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, would they have even scored? You know? I mean, it was – it. But
The second one was, I just don't know why you would run an out into a cover two look with a guy just squatted down there.
And yeah. short of the sticks, right?
Yeah.
It was third.
Yeah. It was third and five.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But I still think it was right at the sticks. I don't.
Oh no, that's the like to say he said we're going to try and throw this ball to the sideline to Noah Brown and hope for the best, you know. And the thing about it is, you know, it's funny with this receivers and stuff. Even T.Y. Hilton had a couple of drops. I mean the second one, the long one down the sidelines, he got his hands on it. You know, we've seen him make long plays like that before. But the one inside that he dropped, I mean, hit him right.
That was just a clear drop.
Just hit him right in the hands. Yeah. I mean, you're like, okay, so your quarterback's not playing great, and you're dropping balls, and you're not getting open, and he's kind of throwing it to the other team, and you know, it's just. Ugh.
I like this guy as a person, I really do. Who? But Michael Gallup, but. His demeanor is on and off sometimes. I mean, there's been things he's kind of said in the past where you just think, you know, the fire, the dog, it's like not always there. Sometimes he makes some great plays, and then sometimes it's just kind of whatever, you know. And that's I think that's he is not necessarily your typical number two receiver, and he's getting paid like it.
Yeah.
But I think they need more from him. They really do. They need
a lot
especially
more.
Especially you got a guy getting 107 catches on the other side.
Yeah,
I mean, agree.
See the thing about it too is like with him, it's just every time it's just like even the slants and stuff, it's just bad body position. You know, it's like he gets caught between do I want to cradle this thing or do I want to catch it. And as the ball gets closer, it just makes him kind of do weird things with his body to try and, you know, you're like, it's just not in a good position to catch the ball. And I'll tell you, there was one, you remember a third down play, it's like a third and long play, where they throw the ball in the middle of the field to Noah Brown, and he's like, gets just crushed.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's not even close. Mm-hmm. And this is Dak. This is what you learn about Dak.
He loves Noah Brown.
That's what I'm saying. Noah Brown, he's going to throw it into the teeth of just disaster.
Right.
But you've got Lamb and also like Schultz standing there, and you throw it to them. It's going to be a 12-yard gain and a first down. And you're wondering, like, bro, you had it right here. I mean, and this is where Dak, I think, gets in trouble. I think it's like predetermined, I'm going to fit the ball here, and I'm not going to look at here, and I'm not going to look at here. And you can see during the game that CeeDee Lamb's like looking at him like palms up, like, whoa. There was one time or two, throw another ball where it goes inside. And they run a double move with Lamb, and if Dak just hangs with it, just lets him clear, it's going to be a huge play. And he's like, nah, I'm going to throw it over here. You know, and the play's designed to and they get what they want, but he doesn't throw it to where, you know, if he throws it far enough to the out, it's a big play.
So what do you think? What do you guys think is happening with Dak? Because
I don't think
the thing about Dak is
the turnovers.
Let's
be honest, freaking him out.
They are, but let's be honest. There have also been some games here in December where he has played really, really great football. There have been some games where it's like, what the heck was that? And then obviously to see a game like yesterday where nothing went right. Like he just had probably his worst performance, as you said, Nick, since the way he started the season against Tampa
Bay. Was he bad against Houston in that game for up until like for 58 minutes? The Houston game, we weren't very good, right?
No.
Mean, I mean, that's what I'm saying. No, it's been kind of up and down. It's been up and down. So what do you guys think is going on with Dak at this point?
The turnovers, I think, are huge. Just because I think it's reckless. I think there's just ball clanging off guys, not his fault. But every time it happens, we're standing at the podium saying, I need to do better. I need to do better. And then we get the fans calling in on our show last night on the postgame show going, why is it the same speech? Mm-hmm. Tell me you tell me every week you're doing better and you're not doing better. You're still making some of the same mistakes. I don't think he sees the field all the time. I think he gets fooled. I think he gets in the games and thinks, I can throw it there, and he gets fooled on the coverage. I really do. I don't think he sees the secondary all the time. And it comes and goes, which is maddening.
Yeah.
Because the throw he made for the touchdown was a great read.
Yep.
He knew exactly the spacing between the corner and then what was going on in the middle of the field. And Lamb ran a great route and stopped. And he fired it in there, and you're going, ha, he saw it.
I think
that is the one spot in that press box where we were like, great view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Literally, you're seeing it from the end.
And you said it immediately after. You're like, that was a good throw. Like, he hadn't done one all day.
That's the thing. Yeah. That's the thing that's maddening about him is that you see a throw that he made, maybe one of the greatest throws I've ever seen. I've seen a lot of them. The Giants game at the Meadowlands in the season to Cole Beasley across the back of the end zone. One of the greatest throws I've ever seen in the end zone in my life. I mean, just the way he threw that ball, and you're like, that's it. That's what he can do. And then he does stuff where he throws on that out and things, or he doesn't see, and you're going, why? You saw that. Why didn't you see that? You know, and that I think that's the thing it's the inconsistency about how he sees things and how he reacts to things and how he executes and how he throws the ball.
You know, his rookie year, he wasn't throwing interceptions. He didn't have to. Zeke was rushing for 1,600 yards, and he had a lot of help. That offensive line was protecting him, and it was at a point where he could kind of throw it to the right guy and all that. And I just think now, you know, they're not running the football very well. And
the routes aren't great either now.
And the receivers aren't as good. Yeah. And so
are we all right back to the same conversation we started with, which is without Amari Cooper, they just don't have enough at wide receiver.
I just wish T.Y. Hilton wouldn't have dropped those balls yesterday, because I'm the guy championing T.Y. Hilton making plays. And we've seen him make plays. I worry about Gallup, and I worry about now Noah Brown. I think it's like when you don't have some success – catching the ball. And Gallup, I mean, he hasn't had great success this year catching the ball. Mm-hmm. I think he's fighting that thing right now. And the quarterback's trying to help him, but sometimes the ball's here, sometimes it's low, sometimes it's, you know. Yeah. He threw a ball to Schultz across the field, and Schultz had to kind of, you know, Schultz is like throws his hands behind him. Put it in front of him.
Yeah.
You know, but I get it. You don't probably have a lot of confidence that Jason Peters is going to hold up over here at left tackle, so I've got to kind of throw the ball that way.
Yeah.
You know, it's just there's so many things going on, and this offense is good, and it can score points, and it can look great. But when they look bad, they look really bad.
When you talk about swings from one end to the other.
Oh, my God.
Like, there's only one other team I think of right now that's in the playoffs that's worse than Dallas at that, and that's Minnesota. Like, Minnesota can be really great. They can also be extremely bad. Yeah. I don't think Dallas is that bad yet. But certainly, like, they're on that trajectory of when they're good, they're good. When they're bad, man, it can be just a really, really poor performance. All right, we're going to take off. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think the fact that they've been winning games has affected kind of their mentality and the way they attack things. That's why you get Dak at the podium every time saying, well, we're going to keep being aggressive. And I'm taking away, obviously, those two last losses, you know, this one and then the one in Jacksonville. But in general, every game, it's been a trend where he turns over the ball. And then you go into, after the game, questioning, oh, here we go again, the interceptions, blah, blah. And in every game, he has made one or two or three plays that are, like, really good passing. And you're like, okay, well, that's why you keep trying to be aggressive. And at the end of the game, you guys manage and find a way to win. So I think that has affected the whole – and I'm just trying to look for a reasoning, because, like you said, Brian – we hear the same speech every game, and it doesn't change. And they don't go out saying, you know, we're going to be more careful with the ball or anything. It's not. We're going to work at it, try to clean up, but we're going to stay aggressive and be aggressive. So we'll see how they start changing the game plan. And can I ask a question
before
we go to break? I was going to ask, back to the Michael Gallup thing, do we feel that we're past the whole injury thing to where now he's just flat out not producing how he should be? Because I feel like at the beginning of the season, we were kind of cutting him some slack because of the injury and him coming back.
With that, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll answer that good question. Geez. This is DallasCowboys.com radio.
The season is finally here. For months, we've been gearing up to win. Now it's time for the team that performs on any field, United Ag and Turf. with John Deere zero turns for mowing, compact tractors for loading, mini excavators for digging, Gator utility vehicles for hauling, implements for grading, hay tools for baling. United Ag and Turf for winning. The official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com for more.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Little Sweet! Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Little Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper's on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's on something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far. With up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less, the satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back to the break.
Country music's Party of the Year is coming to Ford Center at the Star in Frisco. The Academy of Country Music Awards, the CMAs, are always bringing you country's brightest stars together under one roof. No one does country like Texas. Witness history on May 11th. Get your tickets at SeatGeek.com.
Welcome back. Final segment of the break live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. Amber posed a question just before the break. The question was, are we through past the injury for Michael Gallup? Is part of what we're seeing a result of the fact that he just isn't completely back from his injury and recovering from it?
I think that would be a really convenient thing to say. I think that, you know, there was some probably early in the season he didn't want to play in that game, the Monday night game in New York. I really do think that he was like, listen, let me have one more week. Let me get this thing, you know, in my mind right and all that. I think that very early in the season he struggled with that.
And I don't think the Cowboys wanted him to play in that game. There's a lot of history on that turf.
Yeah, yeah. It's a bat. You're absolutely right
so
about that.
So I think
that.
It's a combination of, and all it takes is one person putting it in your head or whatever, and then it's like, whoa.
Yeah, I mean, just visiting with people like you guys do, it was not a game. But I think we're past that point.
I do, too. I think we're past that. And you know, I mean, he's inconsistent. I mean, because there are some times he makes some great catches. I mean, if you're throwing the ball on the sideline, I think I want it to go to him more than any other player. But he's just – I don't know. I don't know what it is about him. It's just not always there. And that's what a number two receiver probably is. If you look around the league at all number two receivers, do they have the ability to go for 140 and two touchdowns? Yes. Do they also can they go one for four yards and not, you know, and maybe four or five targets that incomplete? Yeah. That's what a number two does, or you'd be a number one. So I think all number two receivers are pretty inconsistent with, you know, their highs and lows. I mean, you want them to be somewhere in between.
What has been his high? What would we say is his high this season? Has he had a high game?
Jamar, yards?
I'm just saying in general. High, like a game you look plays at and you're like, man, he was the difference here.
Two high, plays that he's made. I remember the play. I think it was against the Colts where Dak sprints to his right. He's a stationary receiver in the middle of the field, and he takes off running with Dak.
Yep.
And he throws in the ball, and then he skirts in. I think touchdown, that was against the Colts. He had a play against the Philadelphia Eagles in the corner at the pylon. Yeah. Nick's right about that. Sideline plays where it's not a contested, but it's all about him kind of getting hands to body to ball to toes.
63.
Yeah. I mean, those are all –
63?
Yeah.
That's his best.
Five catches, 63 against the Giants on Thanksgiving, and which that wasn't really that memorable.
No.
You know what? I'm really, really pissed right now.
Oh. Yeah, this is what I was waiting for.
A lady should not be using the word pissed, but I am. And the thing is, you know what bothers me is why are we talking about the wide receiver group right now at this point of the year when this is exactly the conversation we were having at training camp? These were issues. And we've had ups and downs with the wide receiver group. I think Noah Brown did a really, really good job during his time with Cooper Rush and all that. And that was working. So there were times where you thought, okay, they're doing okay, enough to get you by because also how the defense was playing for you. Now that's not the case. Now you need the offense to play a lot better than what the defense is helping you with. And now, even though they got T.Y. Hilton, and he's shown some things, it's still not there yet. Not there as a group at the wide receiver position. And it's just, it makes me mad that we're literally, at the time where you think you should have most of everything figured out, you don't. And we're going headed to Tampa Bay next week. Here kind of saying, well, Michael Gallup hasn't been the guy that he needs to be. And, well, now you're throwing passes to Noah Brown, who, according to Nick, is the best base volleyball player in the United States. But
Hendershot's giving him a run.
Hendershot, yeah, they're competing for who plays volleyball better.
Diggs, I mean, what
man,
about him?
Oh, my gosh. No, but it's just upsetting when we have seen this. And this is a topic of conversation since training camp. And here we are sitting at the end of the season, heading into the playoffs, still kind of having this conversation. And I love what T.Y. Hilton has done since the moment he got here. But it's not to the – he's not there every play. Like, it's not to the point where now that's your guy. And you're giving that responsibility to him just yet.
If you feel better about T.Y. Hilton than you do Gallup, then you probably need more reps from T.Y. Hilton.
Which, by the way, I do expect in the playoffs.
I do,
he
too.
He will get more reps.
I
you
do,
look
too.
At last week's game, he was a guy that they were relying on third downs particularly.
Oh, yeah.
So I expect in the playoffs you're going to see a lot more of that with CD.
Yeah, have you guys thought about with the playoffs here, what about, like, Odell? Sorry.
You know what?
With about a minute and 45 seconds.
Let me ask you this.
With about a minute and 45 seconds left in the show, you really just dropped that out there.
More, you want to ask Jerry?
Yeah.
Yeah, tomorrow, and maybe he'll be asked about it.
More concerned about the cornerback situation, the wide receiver situation.
Cornerback, no doubt. It's not even close.
Because, like you said, they'll find those bad players.
Yep.
If
you can exploit them.
And Mike Evans, I mean.
The quality, they've tried to fix the cornerback spot. They've brought every corner that's been on the street, they've brought in. You know, we'll see what happens with Xavier Rhodes. My guys in the league tell me, listen, he's a long player. Dan likes those kind of guys. He's a tough guy. He can't run as well as he once did.
Oh, no.
You know, so now maybe you throw your situation out there. He's a veteran guy. George Edwards knows him from his days in Minnesota. They've thrown everything. I don't expect Mullen or any of these other guys to play anymore.
Not to get too far into the matchups, though. This is where I look at Xavier Rhodes and say, can you put veteran against veteran?
And go
put him out there with Julio. Julio's a guy I worry about in a playoff game because he hasn't been a guy that's been killing teams all season. Mm-hmm. But you get those kind of vets who just have that natural raw ability into the playoffs. Like, I start worrying a little bit about that, and I think Xavier might be somebody you could put out there to handle him a little bit.
Other than Tom Brady, of course. And even though he hasn't played great this year, he gets it done at the end. And that's a credit to their defense. But the guy that worries me the most is Fournette, to me.
Tom Brady in week one didn't have to be Tom Brady. Leonard Fournette had 128 right. yards, and it looked yeah. and it was 6 yards a shot.
And I still haven't seen the Cowboys consistently be able to stop the run. Yeah. Every time we think they may be getting a little better at it, they have a game where it just brings you right back to it. Like, I don't
Hankins
think they can stop the run.
And Leighton Van Der Esch are huge in this yep. game. They've got to come back and come back.
An immediate comeback ready to play.
And your quarterback has to – he played so badly against Tampa in week one. You know, I mean, and hopefully this.
How was the pressure? Do you remember in that game? And I know the defense and even Tom Brady looked very different than what they are now. But do you remember?
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't. Terrence
Steele had about 4 false starts.
He was awful because that was the first week.
The penalties were terrible.
Yeah, that was the first week that I remember thinking, because people were going, well, they brought us, you're right. Because I was the guy that said, oh, he's going to be a liability. And then he played like that in week one, and you're kind of like thinking, okay, maybe I wasn't so stupid. But now he played better since then. So, yeah, I mean, you got to go back. But what you got to do, if you can watch the All-22, go watch Cincinnati. Go watch the games that they like, because Cincinnati really disrupted the way Tampa's offense looked. So maybe that's something that Dallas can draw from in this football game.
All right, guys, we appreciate you joining us. We'll be back on tomorrow. We'll start kind of flipping the script a little bit here, but looking forward to the first playoff game. Cowboys travel to Tampa Bay. Till then, for Nick Eatman, Brian Broaddus, and Amber Garcia, I'm Derek Eagleton. This has been The Break, live on DallasCowboys.com radio.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about you, Cowboys? Yeah!